11 o'clock after we got in because of what God did in His presence. Hallelujah. How many knows we got the ability, God's grace to do His will. Regardless of what His will is in our life, if we lean on Him, trust Him. But if I was going to title the sermon, it would be Believe to See God's Goodness. You know, I've preached this. I mean, I could turn to the same sermon, and I never can preach it the same way. I've tried it for 30 years. It's just the Holy Spirit. But you know, I was getting ready, and Teresa's fixing her hair and all that, and y'all can start it. Okay. She said, Lord spoke, told me something today. Maybe she won't hear me tell it. You know, He said, apple tree. You know an apple tree because it bears apples. You know a plum or whatever. She didn't say plum, but. And then I thought about it. What kind of tree am I? You know, I'm a fruit bearer. I bear fruit. I'm a fruit tree. Come on, somebody. This church is a fruit tree. Y'all are fruit trees. Not literally, but I'm talking about bearing fruit. The more fruit we bear, the freer we get. The more that we yield, like Samantha was talking about, taking up our... The cross is not heavy. Jesus done carried it. Come on, somebody. When He says take up your cross, the cross is not burdensome. The cross is challenging, choiceful, but once we begin to yield to the cross, what's the cross? The cross in our life is where our will meets God's will. That's where the cross is. And then when we pick up God's will, we're taking up our cross. We're taking it up. We did it tonight coming to church. Hallelujah. But believe to see, I got this sermon title, I guess, when I was reading years ago. Now I've wrote it again and again. This book's this year. Believe to see God's goodness. And I've used that in Psalms 27, I believe it's 13. It says, the psalmist David, he said, I would have fainted lest I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I took that scripture as mine, hallelujah. And I thought to myself, I'm going to believe to see God's goodness in my life so I won't give up and I won't quit and I won't faint. Come on, somebody. Greater is He that's in us than he that is in this world, hallelujah. We've had a couple of jobs having to go back on here, and Travis going on vacation. We're going tomorrow, and it's about a half a day, and the doors was hung right and all of that, but they want to move the sections up. It's 8 of them. One section, they said, well, somebody missed it. And then I'm out there, and I'm hot, and I'm thinking, I'm ready to retire. Yeah. Come on, somebody. It's hot out there. You know, it's not favorable. That's not good. That's over a half a day. Hallelujah. And I thought, I'm ready to retire. I'm tired of putting up with all this trouble. Those thoughts come to my mind. Hallelujah. And it felt really good to my flesh that Travis would continue on the business and pay me every week and me do nothing. Come on, somebody. Sounds pretty good, don't it? And then I'm there and I'm hot and I'm working. And the Lord said, that's exactly what the enemy tells my people. I'm tired of these battles. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired. Well, just like Trey, slipped his hand up. I reckon I give the altar call. I reckon, I don't know, he surrendered his heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the fruit of our labor. We might have had to do the heat and cooling system in there. I mean, Johnny did a good job. He swept up all of them cobwebs under there, man. I mean, it's clean. Every time that boy come out, looked like he growed some hair. I told him, I got pictures of it, you know. I put it on Facebook. I said, Johnny Galvin, under the church. And I told him, I said, look at me, smile. And I got him with all them cobwebs, hallelujah. Well, we're sitting under there, and you know, and I told him, you know, we was just sitting there kind of talking a little bit, you know, And I told him, I said, this is ministry. Come on, somebody. Ministry ain't just behind this pulpit. You know, we was doing, all of us that worked, we were doing ministry. Serving. That's right. Not serving ourselves. I'd like to have been in my swimming pool. I dream about that swimming pool until I get there and then I don't want it. You know, because, you know, hallelujah. But the Lord spoke to me and He said, He said, see, he said, that's why a lot of my people today, a lot of God's people are defeated. They give in to defeat. It's not God's fault. It's not. God is a good God, right? The Bible says in Isaiah 54 and 17, it says, no weapon that's formed against you will bring fruit. No weapon that's formed. It don't say that weapons won't form against our life. Hallelujah. You know, Trey should have been dead. I praise God today. Hallelujah. Somebody sent me a message the other day and their son was in the hospital and they'd done had to sit down there 2 days and they didn't have a room in UAB down there and according to the thing. And so, would you pray? And I said, absolutely, I sure will right now. Poo! And I sought the Lord. I told the Lord, I said, thank you, Father God, for your favor in this. Thank you, Father, that the room will come up, Lord, and they will get to it quickly in the mighty name of Jesus. And I said, I receive it right now. Why would I say that? Because Mark 11, 24. Whatsoever things you desire, we know that's the will of God. Believe that you receive it, and what happens? It says you'll have it. Well, I believed I had it. Well, I got a message. That was last night. I got a message from that lady today, and she said, praise God, we're home. She said, praise God, we're home. She said, everything worked out real quick. Well, reckon why it did. God, faith, released it for them, that guy. Praise God, hallelujah. He needs deliverance. But deliverance is already done through Jesus Christ, hallelujah. He can do abundantly above, greater than me and you can think or ask. So you kind of cast down those thoughts when hardship comes. It's easy to serve Jesus when you're not going through no trials, when all your bills are paid, when nothing's happening, you know, all your trials, God's giving you rest. But see, the rest of God in that time, he's saying, get ready, because I'm sending you out on the front lines. He called on Gideon. Y'all remember Gideon in the Bible? God called on Gideon to go deliver the Israelites. And there was two armies and all their allies. And then God gave him instruction. How many knows we need instruction? We need to be seeking the Lord. What do we do? What do I do about this? How do I handle this? And then be expecting God to answer you, give you somehow, bring it all together, Samantha says. He brings it all together. That's a good way of putting it. See, being in faith, Mac, believing God is bearing fruit. Standing on God's word. Well, you know, we're believing to see them in church. We've been calling them for about 15 years, six from the north, the south, and then I integrated y'all into it. Call them in. Well, you know what we're doing? We're speaking to those that God has called to the church, this church. We're calling them in from the north, the east, the south, and the west. Why? I was thinking about the scripture today. Jesus prayed and he said, Father, send laborers into the vineyard. What's laborers? They put together heat and cooling systems. Right? They witness out there on the job, right? They pray for people on the job. That's laborers. They tote boxes. I'm just talking about our ministry. But you know, coming a time when Mac, he's part of this, going to the nursing homes. He may be leading up. God may be training him for the ones that feels led to go to the nursing homes in the future. Right? Because those in the nursing home, they need healing in their bodies. Some of them feel abandoned. Their families don't go see them. They get all oppressed. And, you know, I know that because I've been to the nursing homes and I won an 85-year-old woman to Jesus Christ in there that had never been born again. That's laboring. But I was thinking about today. See, I'm going to believe to see the goodness of God now in your life. I'm not going to sit back and say, God, you can't move in Cassandra's life. God, I don't know. It's just too bad in Damien. Not you, Dad. I'm just making an example. Damien's, he's smart. I mean, he's a genius. Hallelujah. Cute. I mean, they done took him in there. He's happy making a little bit of money over at his job. Get in there. I don't want no more money. I'm good. Why you make all that money? You know, And then God begins just to slowly raise him up. Done raised him up to manager. Now he's running everywhere. He's liable to own the place one day. Why? He's been here in the will of God now for 10, 15 years. He's been door greeting for 8 or 10. Come, he wanted to quit one time, and I walked up to him, and I said, nope. Can't quit. Well, I mean, you get tired, I guess, standing there for 15 years greeting the door. You got to smile. No matter how your job was, you got to smile, right? Come on in. You don't want to look like you eat a lemon. Boy, oh, come on in and have church. Whew, it's terrible. How many knows, you know, we got to lean on the Lord. You got to lean on the Lord in this heat we're going through and praise Him. Hallelujah. You got to praise Him because it's hot on the job, right? Don't let the job whip you. Don't let the heat whip you in here. It can scorch us out here, but I'm telling you, in here, you can stand strong and you can praise God and get stronger and stronger and stronger where you can bear up under anything. I heard the other day a guy, he said, well, you know, God, and he don't go to church. Okay? He's picked up. He said, you know, my grandbabies went through this and that and this and that and all of that, and you know, and then bring God up every now and then. You know, and I thought, man, God come on me. The only reason you think I'm anointed and you can't help it. Back then, I think it was Saul. One of them got, when they got in amongst the prophets, he began to prophesy backslid. But he made this statement. He said, well, you know, God said that he wouldn't put no more on us than we can bear. And I thought, that's false doctrine. You know why? Because I know what the Scripture says. God will not allow you to get under more than you're able to take. Right? If you got it coming, then you can handle it. Right? You just got to rely on His strength and not yours. Hallelujah. You just got to rely on Him and believe to see the goodness of God. You know, I got saved and I went to I was working at this place down there and I started reading the Bible, Mac. I didn't understand none of it. But he'd bring a little nugget here to me, a little nugget here about prospering, about you know, when I'm going after the Lord. You got to go after, have a relationship with the Lord. That's number one, because Scripture is just Scripture without the Holy Spirit. But a relationship with the Lord, then He'll quicken things to you as you walk. He'll enlighten you to things. He'll teach you His ways in your life. Right? And so anyways, I learned about tithing. And I thought, I don't like that, man. Tithing, I'm going to get $22 this week. I made $220 a week, $220. Anyways, anyhow, I'm like, glory to God, if it's in that Bible, then I'm going to do it. How many knows you got to be willing? The Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat good in the land. And so I thought, okay, praise God. So I started learning a little bit about the favor of God. How many knows we went around back in the 90s? I'm highly favored. I'm favored of God. I'm favored. I'm a king and a priest, because that's what the Bible said. And I started picking it up, you know, and I'd quote it to myself all day long. Most of the time, you know, I'd be like, I'm a king and priest unto God. I'm anointed by Him. The greater is He that's in me. And then I started believing God for increase me at that job. I started believing God for favor. And you know what? Because the favor of God is on your believing, because if you're born again, you got God's favor. Come on, somebody. Now you got to find out what you're supposed to be believing for, and then move forward in it. Move forward. Get that knowledge of God. He'll reveal the knowledge of God to us. Well, you know, when I left there, I was making double what I was making when I started. But then I began to notice, like this truck that our boss, me and Preston both worked there, and built this nice truck, and it was international with the white cabs. We sent somebody to California and got it. Well, he put me in that truck, and I felt like that was the favor of God. It was brand new. It was nice. The gears were backwards, but, you know. And so, anyhow, one day, I had these couple of guys with me. Now, mind, I'm bringing the Lord in here. I'm believing God for me to have favor and prosper me and open doors that no man shuts according to Revelation. You know, and I dropped a whole bundle of sheetrock on the hood of that truck. And it crushed the cab. It just crushed it in. You pick it up, swing it around in front of you into the house, and then you pull it off, the sheetrock. Well, I had it swinging out there, and I didn't have the fork on good that held one end of it up, and it come off, and when it did, it just crushed into the cab. Well, all the way back, them guys, they was telling me, see, now your circumstances are going to talk to you negative. And people are going to talk. And don't get on people. Let people say, do what they do. But you stand and you believe God. You believe God alone if you need to believe God alone. You don't need anybody to come in agreement believing God for the favor to be released in your life. Hallelujah. Because Jesus made it personal. Right? Well, you know, on the way back, they're like, you're dead meat. You're dead meat. You're dead meat. And I told them, I said, no, I serve God. I said, God's going to work this out for me. You just see what God does. I don't know. You know, my mind is going off and I got to go back and tell my boss. I pull in down there, you know, down on the yard and park down there where we load because we're going out the next day. So I went in and my boss in there and I walked around there and I said, hey, Jack. I said, I need to see you a minute. He said, what is it, sugar? I'm busy. I said, well, you know, I need a, what is it? I said, well, I dropped sheetrock on the cab of that truck. Is that all, sugar? And I said, well, yeah, that's all. Well, a lot of them were standing there like this, out the building. I mean, they lined up out there. They know how our boss was, you know. Just come out like a Tasmanian devil, you know, bust the doors open. Spit in your face, he's hair lip and all that. Well, I walked out, I walked across there and I thought, I have really got God's favor. Jesus had favor with God and with man. And I have God's favor. We have God's favor. I'm 6 months old in the Lord at this time, maybe seven. Now, that's not even the best part of it. Well, they come to me and they said, the insurance company's going to. I said, I'm not going to tell them nothing but the truth. I said, I'm not going to. And they come up with a story for me to tell them. And I said, you go back and tell Jack I'm not doing it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just telling you right now. I'm going to tell them exactly what happened, and that's what happened. Well, you know, the next morning, we all come in at 7 o'clock, and they went and opened up the gate over there to let the lumber truck in. There was a couple of lumber trucks that was coming in to get unloaded. That truck came around through that building, and we're all standing there. Everybody done got in. Everybody done been talking about how I'm chewed up from the floor up, how this is not a good week for me, you know. And one of my brothers, I said, you see what God does for me. I said, I don't know about you, but I got born again down there. I was fixing to commit suicide. I said, and I'm born again. I know the Lord. I just knew him a little bit. That's enough. You ain't got to know him a whole lot. Well, that truck comes around down through there, comes around like that and jackknifed and tore the cab off of that truck. I turned around and I said, did y'all see what God just did for me? I said, did y'all see God? I said, that was God. Well, didn't even have to see the insurance man. The other, it was paid for. That was the favor of God. Hallelujah. See, it don't take a lot just to get in the Bible and believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I was thinking about this building, me and Preston on this building together. And we split and he went one way and I went the other. And I was down here in this building and then God had spoke to me about starting a church or something. You know, and I'm telling God, well, that's not going to work, God. I mean, he's not going to be a part of that and, you know, probably. And I mean, he's went his own way. And I just 1 Peter 5:7 did. Anybody know what it is? Casting all your care over on the Lord. That was a problem, Sandy. And it wasn't just a week or three later, 2 or 3 weeks later, he drives up down here and he said, "Know what? I ain't got no use for the half of this building." He said, "Just if you want to, you just pay me my part." I believe that's the way it went down. And so what I did. You know, and then I was thinking, well, Preston's going to be there tonight, and I'm just going to let him know, you know, that I had to give this to God. I was going to let the church make payments to me till I get my money back for this building. And God said, "I thought you said it was mine." There's where the cross is, right? When you have it in your means to help somebody, and you know God wants you to, that's the cross. But behind every cross you pick up is a blessing. There's a reward. He's a rewarder of those, the Bible says. Of those that diligently seek Him, diligently follow Him. Well, you know what? I thought I'm going to tell Preston tonight, we both reaping the benefits of our generosity. This building belongs to the Lord. All the time, we didn't know what God was going to do. Now we're getting to labor in the vision of God that me and him had no idea would ever happen. We was going to have a manufacturing company. Oh, you can dream. We dream dreams. And I mean, just because we had a gusto, we just know that destiny's going to happen in our life, you know, just excited about the Lord. But you know what we did a lot? We got in that Bible. We read the Bible every day, you know, at work, going to work and back. We didn't have the luxury you have to pull it out of your pocket and hook you up a good preaching. Come on, somebody. Teresa, we got hooked up. She got us hooked up somehow with Moore Life Ministries, Keith Moore. And it took her 6 to 8 hours because we had dial-up. Some of you don't even know what dial-up is. Get on your nerves. You buffer for 3 seconds and you're in the floor throwing a tantrum. It'd take her 4 or 5 hours to get us one sermon. 4 to 5 and 6 hours to get us one sermon. I remember I was remodeling our trailer one time and she put on one about marriage. And I thought, I don't want to hear this garbage. I already know about marriage. I've been married to you for 8, 9 years now. I mean, I know all about marriage. I'm a married man. I'm trying to remodel the trailer. Well, little did I know, God was going to bring revival in me about marriage. He was going to bring me revelation, things, and insight, how to be a husband of a happy wife. You know what that was? God was changing Scotty. Changing Scotty. People can get along with Mac now. He changed. Right? I changed. Hallelujah. But you know what? I began to believe God to see. Me and Teresa got into it one morning. I was on my way to work. And I'm mad. I'm telling you, I'm mad. I'm a Christian. Going to the jails. You know, got the door opened up to go to the prisons. Working in, I'm mad. I'm so mad I want to burn this building when I get here. I thought it's mine, and I thought, well, it's half preps. He wouldn't care. We'd get the insurance. We didn't have none. It's the only problem with that. But you know, I got down about a mile, and the Lord said, "Why don't you lift her up and pray?" It was the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you, "Why don't you lift her up and pray?" And I thought, it ain't going to do no good. She's stubborn. See, that's the devil talking to you. Right? Wasn't no cell phones or nothing then, you know. And I said, well, my God, it wouldn't hurt nothing anyways. And I just lifted up the Lord and I said, "Lord, I'm sorry for getting them. I had to repent first." I had to get my conscience clear first. So I just repented and everything, and I said, Lord, I said, I thank you by the time I get to work in the mighty name of Jesus that you're going to bring me a breakthrough. What was I doing? Expecting then to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I wasn't going to stay mad all day long. Well, because you're miserable when you're mad. You might think you feel good at the moment, but you don't. Get mad and then try to go pray right quick. Oh, Lord, I just love you. I don't know if I do or not. Why are you letting things get in the way of that walk and that fellowship with the Lord? Hallelujah. When He wants a continual flow in our life for us to walk with Him and talk with Him like Adam did in the cool of the day in Genesis. And He made a way through the Holy Spirit now. He don't show up in the cool of the day. He's in us all the time. Working all the time. Well, you know what? I got here and I called the house and everything had just changed. And I thought, man, it really works. I didn't know if it worked or not. I'd never experienced none of that stuff. And I thought it really works. And I thought, well, I'm the man of the house. That's probably what it is, you know. No, what it was I let God involved. I let God get involved. You got to believe to see the goodness of God. See, you don't need to live in the moment. You need to think long term. You need to believe God long term. You need to believe. I started back in the 30s. In my early 30s, I thought, man, I got to invest. I need to do something, man. I'm getting older now, you know, and blah, 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 you know. Well, you're not looking at a broke man in his 50s. It's because I made choices, like Samantha was talking about, to believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, to believe not to ever lose anything according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He said, no man has left Father. What that means, you come to church tonight. You put Him first. You know, you would think all Christians have faith that's been born again, but they don't. All of them don't obey the Lord. Bible says in two or three places, forsake not the assembling. You got them out there with their bumper stickers and all of that and talk about Jesus on Facebook and you never see them in church. It takes faith to come to church and be faithful. Through your trials, through the heat, through your car blowing up, through whatever happens in your life, your grandkids show up and your mom and them don't never come see you. Now they're going to come see you on church night or Sunday. They don't come no other time. Some people coming to see us one time and they want to come on Sunday. I said, no, y'all take off of work Monday. We'll go to church. Bring your church clothes with you. We ain't seen you in a long time, but we're spending time with Jesus today. How many knows He's more important? He keeps my life together. He keeps me encouraged. He keeps me going forward. He keeps feeding me by His Spirit. Hallelujah. I don't want to let nothing cut that off. I don't think they got mad, you know, but I mean, they thought it was a little disrespectful, but I thought it was a little disrespectful to ask me not to go to church. I thought that was a little bit disrespectful. Why? Because I was experiencing the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Believing to see God's goodness in the land of the living. So God, don't let life get set in and let the Satan tell you that life is just no good. It's no good, that nothing's going to change. He's trying to get you to believe contrary to what the Bible says. He's a liar. I've seen preachers believe God. I've seen them, I'm believing God. Now, whether they heard for the Lord or not, I don't know. But, I mean, you know, and then come to the conclusion because they never see nothing work. Well, you never know what God might do. God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I told one time, I said, listen, man. I said, you can't go build a doctrine off of Job over there out of his ignorance. I said, Job was ignorant of what he was saying and what he was doing. I said, God actually got on to Job for doing that. Where were you when I set the moons? Where were you? He was telling him, why are you saying all this? Why are you? And Job repented. Then he got paid triple for his trouble. And then it says, this was the expected end of Job. This was what God wanted all the time. So I told that guy, I said, look, man, I said, you're beginning to believe that this praying don't work, this faith stuff don't work. I said, because of your experience, what you experienced, what didn't happen. What I've learned is I have laid hold of stuff believing it was God and believing, 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 it never come. And come to find out later it wasn't God. It was my dream, my idea, my thoughts. Instead of getting before the Bible says in Psalms, it says, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. And if we commit our ways to Him, He will bring that to pass. That's why I say the cross is not hard. It's a choice. Now the choice is sometimes a challenge. You know, not to stay angry. You cannot serve God and live in unforgiveness. I know y'all are quiet. But the Bible said, what does it say? Forgive so He can forgive us, don't it? Well, we got to be obedient, right? If we say we got faith, then we got to be obedient. We got to be obedient to that. You know why a lot of people don't? Because it is challenging. I mean, it is challenging when somebody does you wrong to forgive them. Hallelujah. But that is freedom when I do that. When I do that, that freedom to me, that's what bearing fruit is. I know a tree by its fruit, Mac. I can walk up to a pear tree with a pear on it and I don't say, "Ooh, that's a pretty orange." I don't walk up to my plum trees with big plums on them and say, "Ooh, wonder if that's a peach." I know exactly what it is. Well, the Lord says you can judge yourself by your fruit whether you're bearing fruit. Talking to me. Now me judging people ain't none of my business. You ain't none of my business. Mac, you ain't none. Y'all ain't none of my business, because if I take care of me, I'm full-time. It's full-time employed, full-time in that. But you know what? To die to the flesh, you know, is not kill yourself. To die to the flesh is through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You see, it is put in us. The Bible says it is Him who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God spoke to me in the shower this evening. He said, I put it in you to live righteous. He said, I put it in you. He said, that's why things bother you when you're not. He said, I put it in you to love. He said, my Spirit. He said, I put my Spirit in you to live in faith. He said, that's why you're satisfied when you're not in it. He said, it's me that's working in my people both to will and to do. He said, but if they don't delight themselves in me and they don't renew their mind to my word, he said, then I've not got a lot of place to work to bring forth the fruit that they desire and I desire. See, I used to think, you know, the Bible says, I used to think it this way. It says, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, and I always thought about that in a negative sense. You know, and it was always preached to me coming from a negative sense. And I read that scripture one day and the Lord said, He said, sow good and reap good. He said, don't look at it the way you've been looking at it. He said, you're sowing. He said, when you're praying, you're sowing to the Spirit. He said, you're going to reap from the Spirit. He said, you sow finances somewhere. He said, I'm not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap it. He said, if you sow preaching in your mind and the things all the time, and when you deny, listen, I've had to deny women. I'm married. Right? I'm married. I've had to deny them. I'm a good-looking guy. A lot of women would love to have me right now. I got it going on. I've got a good job, home, land, money, toys, swimming pool, Jesus. Well, I don't care about that. They just want a sugar daddy. You know, and then you got Satan on top of it. You got Satan influencing them on top of it. See, I'm talking to us, man, and we got to have this in our kids, and we got to have this in our grandkids, that this stuff that takes place, so they know the difference between their emotions and their flesh and the will of God. Because I've seen Satan hook teenagers up, right? These people went to my brother's church, and Travis, he's in his teenage years, and you know, he's telling them girls, you know, his legs is tired, been walking as what? their legs are tired. They've been running through his mind all day or something like that. Goofy stuff, man. I never thought to tell Teresa. He got that from Will Smith. He got it off SpongeBob or somebody. You know? And so I called my brother and I'm going to check her out, you know, because Teresa,
thank God, I'm telling you right now, he's not going to,
you know, because she knew more than I did that there's some bad girls out there. Because, I mean, I just think everybody's pretty good. And she has to bring revelation to me. Because I'm like, good Lord, why can't she give it a break? You know, why can't she give it a break? And so anyhow, she's going through some challenges. I called my brother up, Mac. And I said, well, how are they? I said, Travis liking that little girl. And, oh, they are come to church every day. I mean, every time the door, oh, she just loves Jesus. I mean, give me this. And I'm thinking, Jesus, she's going to heaven quicker than I am. And so I told Trish, well, I'll check her out. Well, come to find out that she was in the gothic stuff. But, Aubrey, that's why you're not painting your fingernails black, baby. Because all them in school's doing it. Don't get mad, Papa. I'll paint them pink, yellow. Oh, I'm sorry. Rainbow and all that. Planted some seed right then. And so come to find out, she told Travis, well, just slip out the window. Just wait till Mom and Daddy's in the bed. But you know, he had the fear of God in him. My point is, she was supposedly a good Christian, Mac. Went to church every time. That's not a fruit bearer. Going to church is not bearing fruit. Not the proof that you can bear fruit. Satan goes to church. I had one guy coming to church back there and I knew it, and his name was Sam. He's a good guy now. They got married. Anyhow, he's coming to church back there, and the only reason he's coming to church, you know, is because he wants one of my little sheep. And so I'm almost at the edge of throwing him out of church because I ain't seen no fruit. You know, because you're not going to influence this little sheep out of church. Because Bluntsville said that he was a menace to society, the police department. Told him he was a menace to society. But you know what? I'm looking on the inside and I'm like, nah, it's not going to happen. She loves the Lord. It's just not going to happen. And praise God. Well, ended up, he gave his heart to Jesus and worked in the ministry here. They got married and had a little kid and all that. But my point is, everybody that goes to church is not saints. I've seen people sit in church for 10 years and ain't even born again. I've asked them, how are you sitting in here and not getting born again? How's that happening? You know, and I just don't feel it. I'm like, good Lord. And so I released my faith for 10 years. They're going to get born again. They're going to get born again. They're going to be born again. And you know, you can drag somebody to the altar, but you can't get them saved. It's got to be a heart thing. If it ain't a heart thing, they're more than likely just going to get religion and they're going to think they're saved and there's no change going to take place in their life for the good. I mean, they're not going to feel any change or not going to feel inspired like we do and all of that. The joy of the Lord, hallelujah. I have to hang on to the joy of the Lord, Preston, at times, because all this other out here is trying to drain my strength. But the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, that lady ended up, something happened, and I believe serving the Lord today. I started seeing fruit in their life of the way they were and giving to God and praying and believing and testifying. Hallelujah. Bearing fruit. She started bearing fruit. Well, just like Sandy's believing God, God, you put him here for a purpose, and your kid, believe God. I mean, at one time, I thought Teresa was right all the time. He's been a heathen all the time. He's just been good because he had a bunch of rules and regulations. I'm talking Travis. I told him one time when he's telling some things you did, I said, listen, just don't tell me all of what you did. I'm good. I'm good. I mean, he's burning out across bridges. I mean, burning out, you know. Tore his transmission up in the mud, but God knew it. I was going to replace it, and God said, don't do it. I didn't know he'd been off and jerking it around and helped that transmission. But by the time God got through with him and he had to pay for it, he didn't go in the mud no more. He stayed on the highway. Right? He had to learn some things by example, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what? Believe God. Believe to see God's goodness. Believe to see it in your finances. Believe for promotion. Hallelujah. I saw it down there at J&H, and then I've seen it in the overhead door business for nearly 30 years. Can't tell me it don't work. God asked me one time, he said, I can do it. I'll do it again. And I knew that God was telling me, it's your choice. If you'll believe me, I'll do it again. But if you don't believe, there's no need me bothering. See, if I'm not willing to put an air conditioning system in the church, there's not one coming. But once I got willing to put one in there, what happened? Boom. The opportunity to give showed up. The system showed up. And we're a lot cooler tonight. I'm not even sweating. I could stay another 30 minutes. So believe to see God's goodness, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you. And Lord, we just thank you, Father. We thank you tonight, Father God, for your word, Lord, that we make quality decisions.